You're listening to Rowan Radio On Demand. Download more podcasts at rowanradio.com.
The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.
Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM proudly presents The Rowan Report, a weekly news magazine that recaps local, national, and international news that affects you. And now, the Rowan Radio News Team.
Good morning and welcome to the Rowan Report here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM. I'm Allie Bruce with the Rowan Radio News Team. Some of this week's headlines include Defense Secretary Austin expresses his displeasure with Israel, President Biden calls for Israel to ease Gaza's suffering, and New York is decriminalizing adultery. Here's your national news recap for the week of March 31st. The Pentagon says Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin expressed his outrage with his Israeli counterpart during a call Wednesday. This after a convoy of vehicles with the charity World Center Kitchen was struck multiple times by the Israeli military Monday in Gaza, killing 7 aid workers. Austin urged the Israeli defense minister to implement concrete steps to protect aid workers and civilians as Israel wages war on Hamas and called for a transparent investigation. The Israeli military said the strike on the convoy was unintentional and has apologized for the incident. President Biden traveled to Baltimore Friday to visit the site of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. The White House said he met with state and local officials and got a firsthand look at efforts to clear the wreckage and reopen the port of Baltimore. The president met with the families of the six construction workers who died in the collapse. A cargo container smashed into the bridge last week. A federal judge is denying Donald Trump's request to dismiss his classified documents case. The former president claimed the case should be tossed because his possessions of classified records was protected by the Presidential Records Act. The judge, in her decision, wrote the charges Trump was seeking to have dismissed don't rely on the statute. Special counsel Jack Smith charged Trump in a 40-count indictment that includes alleged violations of the Espionage Act, which makes it illegal to mishandle national defense information. The Biden administration is canceling its latest plans to refill the nation's strategic petroleum reserve as the price at the pump rises. The Department of Energy canceled two planned oil purchases that would have secured 3 million barrels later this year. This as the price of oil rose above $85 a barrel this week, about $6 more than the administration's target price for purchasing oil to refill the reserves. The administration withdrew about 260 million barrels of oil from the reserve in 2021 and 2022. New York's Democratic Attorney General wants the company providing Donald Trump his $170 million bond to prove it actually has the money. Letitia James asked an appeals court Thursday to make Trump provide the proof in case his appeal of his civil case fails. James won a $454 million judgment against Trump after he was found guilty of overinflating the value of his properties to get a more favorable bank loan. The bond paused the judgment while Trump appeals the verdict. If the court agrees with James, Trump will have 10 days to prove the company is solvent. Reports say the Biden administration approved bombs for Israel on the same day aid workers were killed by an Israeli airstrike in Gaza. The Washington Post reports the State Department signed off on the transfer of more than 2,000 bombs for Israel Monday, just before the deadly attack. News of the approval comes as Israel is facing international criticism and President Biden faces pressure from his fellow Democrats to begin restricting military aid to the country as a civilian death toll in Gaza continues to rise. Biden said earlier this week he was outraged over the incident. A Georgia judge is rejecting former President Trump's attempt to have his election interference case in the state tossed. Trump has tried to have the criminal case dismissed by arguing it violated his free speech rights. The judge said the alleged statement made by Trump and his co-defendants were made in furtherance of criminal activity and are not protected by the First Amendment. Trump has pleaded not guilty to the charges that include racketeering. The charges are connected to the alleged efforts to overturn Georgia's results in the 2020 presidential election. A new Texas immigration enforcement law remains in legal limbo after a federal appeals court heard additional arguments about its constitutionality on Wednesday. A three-judge panel in the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans listened as attorneys for both sides of a lawsuit discussed the merits and failings of Senate Bill 4. If it is allowed to be implemented, the law empowers state and local police in Texas to arrest, detain, and deport suspected illegal immigrants. The panel has not offered a time frame for when it may rule on the case. The father of the Oxford, Michigan school shooter has had his prison phone access restricted after reportedly threatening the prosecutor who helped convict him of manslaughter charges. James Crumbly was found guilty of turning a blind eye to son Ethan Crumbly's mental health issues before the teen opened fire at Oxford High School in 2021, killing several classmates. In the sentencing memo, prosecutors say James made several threats against Karen McDonald, indicating that he knew he was being recorded but didn't care. One of the messages reportedly stated, "There will be retribution, believe me." The mother of the Oxford, Michigan school shooter is asking for house arrest when she's sentenced later this month. Jennifer Crumbly, who was found guilty of manslaughter in connection to her son's deadly 2021 rampage at Oxford High School, wants to live in her lawyer's guest house, according to a sentencing memo. Prosecutors call the request a slap in the face and are asking that Jennifer be sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison. The husband of Florida Senate's President Kathleen Pasadomo has died after suffering massive trauma in an accident while hiking with his wife in Utah. Among those sharing their condolences was Governor DeSantis, who is in Davie signing conservation legislation. John Pasadomo was taken from the trail by ambulance and then flown to a trauma center, but succumbed to his injuries Wednesday. He was 72. A NASA employee is out on bond following his arrest on 6 counts of sexual assault. The Harris County DA's office says 37-year-old Eric Sim is accused of committing the assaults between 2019 and 2022 at his townhouse east of downtown Houston. Sim reportedly met his victims on dating apps and would assault them after several dates. Investigators believe there may be more victims. Since Sim traveled to Japan, Canada, the UK, and elsewhere, he may have victims overseas. Sim is under 24/7 house arrest with an electronic monitor. Excitement is growing for Monday's solar eclipse. The path of totality, where the sun is completely covered by the moon, will begin crossing the U.S. at around 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time and will finish about an hour later. If you're in the path for a few minutes, you'll see the moon completely block out the sun's light while the air gets colder. Totality will occur in Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, Michigan, Kentucky, Tennessee, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. I'm Allie Bruce, and that was your national news.
I'm Gavin Trutzenbach with your international news report. All three of today's international stories are coming from BBC. Joe Biden has told Benjamin Netanyahu that U.S. support for Israel will depend on steps being taken to address civilian harm and humanitarian suffering in Gaza. The U.S. president and Israeli prime minister were speaking on Thursday for the first time since an Israeli strike killed 7 aid workers in Gaza on Monday. Biden told Netanyahu the strike and overall humanitarian situation in Gaza are unacceptable. Israel had not yet issued its readout of the call, but earlier this week said the incident was a grave mistake and promised an independent investigation. As a result of the strike, some aid groups have paused operations, increasing concerns about starvation in the north of the Strip. The BBC's Gaza correspondent Rushdie Abouloulouf says residents there are living in tragic, near-famine conditions. Meanwhile, the UK government is under pressure to suspend arms sales to Israel. More than 600 legal experts have written to Prime Minister Rishi Sunak saying exports must end. In our second international story, GPS is being blocked across swaths of Israel in order to disrupt missiles and drones as tensions rise with Iran. Iran has vowed to respond after a strike on its consulate building in Syria on Monday, which Israel was widely believed to be behind, and killed 13 people, including a senior general. The Israel Defense Forces, IDF, also announced it was halting all leave for soldiers serving with combat units. It comes a day after reservists were called up to bolster air defense units. Israeli authorities seem to believe an Iranian response is imminent and could come as soon as Friday, which is Jerusalem Day, the last Friday in the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. It is a day which has frequently been used to stage pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel rallies, particularly in Iran. On Thursday, GPS systems were being disrupted in central parts of Israel, a defensive measure designed to interfere with weapons which rely on it to set their location. Israeli citizens reported being unable to use location-based app services in major cities like Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, far from active combat zones. Monitoring website GPS Jam showed widespread interference with location signals across Israel. A BBC producer said her GPS had located her in Cairo when she was in Jerusalem, and other users have shared similar accounts on social media. IDF spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari confirmed the country is using GPS blocking, which is sometimes referred to as spoofing. Israelis have been urged to manually set their location on the app which issues alerts about incoming rocket attacks, to ensure it remains accurate amid the GPS interference, the Times of Israel reported. GPS has already disrupted northern Israel near the border with Lebanon, where Israel and the Iranian-backed group Hezbollah have exchanged fire almost daily for the last 6 months. Separately, the IDF has urged people not to panic buy. Writing on X, formerly known as Twitter, Rear Admiral Hagari said, "There is no need to buy generators, store food, and withdraw money from ATMs." Our third and final international story takes us to Taiwan, where a 7.4 magnitude earthquake hit on Tuesday, killing 9 people and leaving more than 1,000 injured. Chang Shin had just woken up in the Taiwanese city of Hualien on Tuesday when her entire block started shaking. The 59-year-old told the BBC the walls were crumbling. Shortly after, another quake hit, causing the entire house to tilt. Ms. Chang was in her third-floor apartment when the earthquake hit, said to be Taiwan's worst earthquake in 25 years. Images of Ms. Chang's apartment block have been shared across the world. The building is tilted over, and rescue workers are attempting to shore up the 10-story structure to prevent it from falling over. After the shaking finished, Ms. Chang started screaming for help and then saw a fire engine outside. She recalls, "I urged them to hurry. I kept yelling, 'Quickly, quickly, or the next aftershock is coming.' The house started to tilt while I was still inside. My legs were shaking and I couldn't stand steady. I still can't calm down, especially with the aftershocks last night." Local reports said one female teacher died in the building when she returned to rescue her cat. Ms. Chang was speaking to the BBC from a shelter for people affected by the earthquake. Sitting next to her was Wei Peng Huan, age 60, who lived on the 5th floor of her building. The block is due to be demolished on Friday, and Ms. Wei wasn't sure if she would be able to collect any of her belongings. She said, "All my belongings are in the building. I wonder if I could go inside to retrieve some important items, but it depends on the rescue team's instructions." As of Thursday, rescuers in Taiwan were working to reach more than 600 people stranded after the earthquake hit the eastern country of Hualien. Some stuck in tunnels and near a national park have been rescued by helicopters, but many were still missing. One Singaporean woman who was stuck in the mountains for a day and a half said, "It's your worst nightmare coming true." She continued to tell the BBC, "It's like they show in the movies. You never think you're going to experience something like that." I'm Gavin Trutzenbach, and that was your International News Report.
I'm Riley Adams with your local news. A bill that aims to decriminalize adultery in New York now awaits Governor Kathy Hochul's signature. The bill's sponsor, Long Island Assemblyman Charles Levine, says he's extremely pleased state Senate members overwhelmingly agreed that the archaic statute that lists adultery as a Class B misdemeanor needs to be wiped off the books. He has noted since 1972, only 13 people have been charged and 5 were convicted under the law that he says embodies nothing more than someone's idea of moral outrage. The measure sailed through the Assembly last month. The TSA is introducing new translation devices at JFK Airport. TSA spokesperson Lisa Farbstein says they're always looking to improve traveler engagement, especially if English isn't a passenger's first language. Farbstein says the devices translate both ways right there on the spot. She also says the devices are currently in the testing phase. In addition, field testing is also being done in Philadelphia. A former NYPD deputy inspector is being sentenced to community service for his role in helping Mayor Eric Adams during his victorious 2021 campaign. Prosecutors say Dwayne Montgomery was the ringleader in a straw donor scheme that boosted Adams' run for City Hall. The 64-year-old Montgomery has been ordered to perform 200 hours of community service. He agreed to the sentence after pleading guilty to a misdemeanor conspiracy charge. As part of his plea deal, Montgomery is prohibited from hosting political fundraisers on behalf of any campaign for a year. Adams admits to knowing Montgomery from their days on the police force, but denies any knowledge of the scheme. A New Jersey man is accused of setting fire at a local church. Firefighters responded to a smoke condition at the Lady of Lake Roman Catholic Church on Lakeside Avenue in Verona just after 3:30 Thursday morning. The fire was quickly put out, and it was determined that the blaze was deliberately set. About an hour later, 42-year-old Elliot Bennett of Verona turned himself in to authorities. He's been charged with aggravated arson and burglary, among other charges. Newark is bringing high-speed internet to public housing residents at a lower cost. Mayor Raz Baraka is offering internet access for $20 a month. He says average market rate is $75 or more. Baraka says that means public housing residents would save around $700 a year. There's a new effort to reduce distracted driving in New Jersey. The state AG and transportation officials are announcing the launch of a campaign called You Drive, You Text, You Pay, which runs all month. More than $1 million in grants are going toward boosting patrols that target drivers who text, talk on the phone, and do other distracting things. Violators face fines up to $400 for a first offense and up to $800 for additional offenses. NJ Transit is gearing up to launch a contactless payment method across its bus systems this weekend. Starting Saturday, bus riders can tap a contactless card or use their mobile phone wallet to hop on board. All they have to do is look for the scanner when they get on a bus and hold their physical or mobile ticket face up. NJ Transit officials say the effort called Tap, Scan, and Ride aims to speed up boarding and offer more ticket options for convenience. The new process will also help the agency improve services since they'll be able to accurately track passenger count and trip data. Mayor Parker has announced her nominations to the Philadelphia Board of Education. Speaking earlier this week, the mayor nominated 9 men and women to the school board. She said each nominee has the experience and skills set to best help our children. Officials are now working to add a student representative for the 2024-25 school year. For the second year in a row, the Made in America Music Festival has been canceled. Organizers made the announcement earlier this week on social media. They blame the move on circumstances not related to production. Organizers are hoping the event will return in 2025. An active duty airman stationed at Dover Air Force Base is facing child sex charges. The Office of the U.S. Attorney says 36-year-old Armin Liu began communicating online with an undercover agent posing as a 14-year-old girl and said he wanted to meet for sex. When Liu arrived at the prearranged location, he was met instead by federal authorities and arrested. Investigators say they found condoms and other items in his bedroom that indicated he anticipated a sexual encounter. I'm Riley Adams, and that was your local news.
I'm Aiden Doherty with your Rowan News. Alumnus Rick Edelman, a number one New York Times bestselling author and perhaps the most famous financial advisor in America, will deliver the keynote address during Rowan University's main commencement ceremony Saturday, May 4th in Coach Richard Wacker Stadium. Edelman, who hosted the nation's longest-running personal finance radio show for 30 years and now hosts the popular podcast The Truth About Your Future with Rick Edelman, which was ranked 3 times as the nation's number one independent financial advisor by Barron's, a weekly financial newspaper published by Dow Jones and Company. He is the author of 13 best-selling books on personal finance, including The Truth About Crypto in 2022. Edelman also hosted a series on public television and 6 PBS specials. Rowan in 2020 renamed its communication school the Rick Edelman College of Communication and Creative Arts. After graduating then Glassboro State College, Rick and his wife Jean Edelman founded Edelman Financial Services, which in 2018 acquired Financial Engines to form Edelman Financial Engines, a company that today serves more than 1.3 million households and manages more than $270 billion in assets. Rick and Jean Edelman are among Rowan's greatest supporters, and their generosity has helped propel Rowan forward with such key initiatives as the Gene and Rick Edelman Fossil Park and Museum, the Rick and Gene Edelman Planetarium, and the Edelman Scholars Fund, which supports top students in the Edelman College of Communication and Creative Arts. In other Rowan news, Rowan University senior Megan Steckler won a prestigious Gracie Award for the second consecutive year from the Alliance for Women in Media Foundation in New York on March 28th. Steckler was honored for Best Host and Personality in the student division as a host of a community affair, making her the first Rowan Radio member to win 2 Gracie Awards. Last year, she was honored for a community affair in the Best Talk Show category. Rowan Radio Station Manager Derek Jones said whether she hosted a music show or a public affairs program, Megan's energetic and inquisitive personality carried over into her work. Jones also added, becoming Rowan Radio's first 2-time Gracie Award winner is a remarkable achievement. The victory marks the 13th time Rowan Radio has won a Gracie Award since its first in 2006. I'm Aiden Doherty, and that was your Rowan News.
That does it for the first half of the Rowan Report, wrapping up this week's national, international, and local news. We are going to take a quick break. Up next, we have your weekly sports, business, and entertainment news. Stay tuned right here on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS FM. Welcome back to the Rowan Report. I'm Allie Bruce, along with the Rowan Radio News team.
I'm Justin Locke for the Rowan Report with your news for the professional sports world. Starting off with NBA news, 76ers superstar center and 2023 NBA MVP Joel Embiid made his official return to the team this past Tuesday night against the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Wells Fargo Center. Anytime he was seen on the Jumbotron, an applause would start to brew, and when he stepped on the court for the first time and after 29 straight missed games with a torn left meniscus, the place exploded with a standing ovation. Philly faithful did it again when he was announced as a starter for Tuesday's game. Embiid had limited minutes in a close one against OKC, but with 29 minutes played, and with that, he scored 24 points, go along with 6 rebounds and 7 assists. Embiid got the game-sealing steal on Josh Giddey and drew a foul on the other end to cap off a 109-105 victory. Embiid after the game said that the injury has taken a toll on him mentally. For some reason, this injury is just disappointing. He said it was depressing. It took me a while to get over it, and I still haven't gotten over it. So just got to take it day by day and look at the positives. And with this win, the Sixers are now a game and a half back on the Indiana Pacers, who currently sit at the 6th seed trying to avoid the play-in tournament between the Eastern Conference 7 through 10 seeds. Their next game is on the road tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. against the Memphis Grizzlies. Sticking with the rise of Philadelphia Stars, after being hitless for 4 straight games to start the MLB season, Bryce Harper turned that narrative around in one night. He blasted 3 home runs in one single game in a 9-4 win against the Cincinnati Reds. Harper hit a solo shot in both the 1st and 4th innings, and after home run number 2, he recorded his 1,000th career run scored. Home run number 3 was a 422-foot grand slam to cap off a 5-run 7th inning for the Fighting Phils. In one night, Bryce Harper went from no batting average to a .200 batting average. The Phillies did lose 2-1 in their homestead against the Reds and are now in the midst of their first 3-game road series against the divisional rival, the Washington Nationals. First pitch today is at 4:05 p.m. Continuing with the MLB, the first no-hitter of the season was already recorded in a week into the regular season. In his 8th career Major League start, Rene Blanco of the Houston Astros no-hit the Toronto Blue Jays for the Astros' first win of the season. The 30-year-old had help behind him too, with the offense exploding for 10 runs at home. This is the Astros' 17th no-hitter all-time. Blanco's journey was incredible, starting out working part-time in a car wash to help him and his mother in 2016 in his home country, the Dominican Republic. After loads of injuries for the starting pitching rotation for the Astros, Blanco was named the 5th starter in their rotation. Blanco stated after the game, "But I think all of that has been worth it for me to be able to get to this moment." Last but not least, the WWE is hosting their biggest yearly event, WrestleMania 40, in Philadelphia starting tonight at Lincoln Financial Field. The two-night event will consist of superstars like the head of the table, undisputed Universal Champion Roman Reigns, The Rock, Seth freaking Rollins, The American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, and even United States Champion Logan Paul. This is the 5th year that WrestleMania is a 2-night event, and this is the most stacked card yet. There is other speculation that some WWE legends will make an appearance, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker, and maybe even John Cena. Philadelphia gets loud for big games for all their sports teams, and they'll be loud this weekend for all of what WWE has in store for them. Both nights start at 7 o'clock and will be broadcasted on Peacock. Again, I'm Justin Locke for the Rowan Report with your news for the professional sports world.
I'm Megan Steckler with your Rowan Report business update. It appears the Federal Reserve won't be cutting interest rates anytime soon. That comes after higher than expected inflation readings for the beginning of the year. Fed Chair Jerome Powell said Wednesday that it's too soon to say whether the recent readings represent more than just a bump. Interest rates currently stand at 5.25 and 5.5. Driverless cars aren't just for giving rides to people. Matt Mattinson explains.
Waymo announced that it's teaming up with Uber Eats. The autonomous vehicle company said Wednesday that its driverless cars will start delivering food to those living in the Phoenix, Arizona area. So far, only a select number of local restaurants are participating in the program. However, folks ordering meals can opt out of the option if they want their delivery done by a human driver instead. I'm Matt Mattinson.
Spotify users will see another price jump this year. That's according to a report from Bloomberg. The outlet says the music streaming service plans to raise the price for individual subscription plans by $1 and $2 for duos and family subscribers later this year. Spotify last raised monthly subscription prices to about $11 for individuals and around $17 for families last July. Bloomberg also reports Spotify will also begin to offer a new music and podcasts-only subscription tier for $11 a month, with audiobooks costing extra for those subscribers. NASA is awarding contracts to 3 private U.S. companies to create lunar rovers for the upcoming moon mission. The space agency on Wednesday said Intuitive Machines of Texas, Lunar Outpost of Colorado, and Venturi Astrolab of California were chosen to create designs for the rover. One of those companies will be chosen to carry out a test run for the Artemis 5 mission, which will send astronauts to the moon in 2029. NASA says the winning bid will be tasked with handling the extreme conditions at the moon's south pole. It will be the first astronaut mission to the moon since 1972.
I'm Megan Steckler, and this has been your Business News Report.
I'm Elle Lawton, and this is your entertainment news. Jay-Z's annual Made in America Festival has been canceled for the second straight year. Promoters for the event, which is held in Philadelphia over Labor Day weekend, announced the cancellation Wednesday. The notice did not give a reason for the cancellation, and no lineup had been announced for the festival. KISS is selling their music catalog, along with their name, image, and likeness. Bloomberg reports the deal with the same company behind ABBA's hologram show is worth $300 million. Pop House Entertainment said the partnership will, quote, fuse the rich history and iconic status of KISS with cutting-edge technology. At the final stop of their End of the Road tour, KISS unveiled digital avatar versions of the band at the end of the show. The first virtual KISS show is planned for 2027. The most anticipated summer movies this year include Deadpool 3, Bad Boys Ride or Die, and Despicable Me 4. That's according to Fandango's annual movie-going trends and insights study. Also on the top 10 most anticipated summer films are Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, A Quiet Place Day 1, Inside Out 2, and The Garfield Movie. The study asked more than 6,000 moviegoers about how they feel about going to the cinema. Rod Wave is in jail on a firearm charge. TMZ reports the rapper was arrested and booked into Manatee County Jail in Florida on two counts of possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. His attorneys told TMZ that Rod Wave is not a convicted felon at all and said the officers who arrested them are wrong. Spotify users will see another price jump this year. That's according to a report from Bloomberg. The outlet says the music streaming service plans to raise the price for individual subscription plans by $1 and $2 for duos and family subscribers later this year. Spotify last raised monthly subscription prices to about $11 for individuals and around $17 for families last July. Bloomberg also reports Spotify will begin to offer a new music and podcasts-only subscription tier for $11 a month, with audiobooks costing extra for those subscribers. The new Fantastic Four movie has found its Silver Surfer. The Hollywood Reporter says Ozark star Julia Garner will play the superhero in the upcoming Marvel movie. Fantastic Four will be directed by Matt Shakman of WandaVision and is set for release in July of 2025. Garner will also be starring in the new Wolfman reboot for Universal, which is set to come out next January. I'm Elle Lawton, and that was your entertainment news.
And that wraps up this week's edition of the Roan Report here on Roan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM. For the Roan Radio News Team, I'm Allie Bruce. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Roan Report, a weekly news magazine that recaps local, national, and international news that affects you. Be sure to join us every Saturday morning at 9:30 for another edition of The Roan Report, exclusively here on Roan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM.